I'm still hurting, but.
Oh, did you get to the acupuncture?
I did. Got to the chiropractor and the acupuncturist and the pharmacist.
Oh, no.
Pharmacist.
Which one helped the most?
Pharmacist.
Yeah. Just checking.
I'm just afraid to try OxyContin. I've never had it in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we have someone else join us.
This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you doing?
Oh, hey, Kathy, thank you for helping my sister.
Oh, you're welcome. So I'm really happy to help show her around. I think Barbara can do a great job. She's been in the business a long time.
But Shauna sent her the name of who's the guy who used to do alcohol research there, whose wife's a realtor?
Oh, yeah, Rizvani.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a dynamo also, so, yeah.
Well, my sister has an oceanfront house in Jupiter, Florida.
She won't find one of those here.
Yeah. So, you know, she wants to kind of be upscale.
Yeah. Well, I think either one of them can help her in that way. Chapel Hill has a wide variety from upscale to not so upscale.
She's moving to Chapel Hill.
Fancy trailer parks?
Yeah, that too.
With double wides.
That's where I'm moving. I'm going to retire and move into a trailer.
Hey, I've got a double wide. Watch those remarks.
Oh, there's an downstairs.
But the admiration, Dale.
Pink flamingos and all.
I hear Detroit's ripping down their houses now.
They had too many of them, huh?
They have too many abandoned homes, so they have a new project to rip them all down.
Huh. Well, might be a solution.
I wanted to buy John to buy that mansion, but he wouldn't do it.
How many mansions do you think I need?
I don't know. I don't think one can ever have too many mansions.
I think we can do the Google Docs.
Okay. So I guess we'll get started. Is Ken Jones on the call?
Yep.
Oh, hi.
And
Shauna, is she with you, Kathy? Or?
No, she couldn't be here today.
Okay. Going through our list. So think of everyone. So, Ed, I don't know if you would, do you want to run the show or?
You always run the show, Ed.
He's on the other line at the moment.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started, and then when he gets back, we'll jump in.
Listening.
Okay, so the first agenda item is the website, and this is something that I'm working on right now. We've talked about what we really want to do is beef up our public presence and those aspects of the website. So one of the things I mentioned the last call, and I want to kind of emphasize to everybody, especially as you've all been working on your progress reports, is to send me any information on your publications, any news, any investigator highlights as soon as they come out. And I think we mentioned that this is important for a number of reasons. One of them, that we can get it onto the website. The second thing is that Dale can use that also for press releases. And then I know neither Kathy nor Tom are on the call today, but that's something that they really would like as well, because then that gives them little news bits that they can directly convey to the public through the NOFAS. So I really want to encourage everybody, as soon as you have a publication or some event that you're getting an award or something, that we can get that information as soon as we can, and then we can get that, make it more public.
I have a question. Does anyone know what the rules are for posting a hard copy of your own particular paper on the web for personal consumption by other people?
generally it can't be in a place where it can be accessed by the masses. You know, you can go, you know, colleague to colleague. That doesn't violate copyright.
You could put a link to it at the journal site.
Right, but a lot of people can't get access. And I noticed Susan Astley has like a link to her papers, and on there it says that this is for one download for your own personal use. And I didn't know whether that violated copyright law or whether it's only for older papers that are past the 3-year PubMed deadline or whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, I'll try.
I think it's a gray area, but
it's about more.
Well, but if it's more than 1 year old, right? It's supposed to be freely available.
Yeah.
If it was published after 2008.
And funded by the NIH.
All right, so what I would like then is those papers that are eligible to be on there as a full PDF link so that people can go right to that source. And so if they're interested in a paper by Sal, they would know that the easiest place to find that would be on the CFAS website.
On the public side of it?
On the public side
okay.
of it. So I'll look into that if Jill rewrites that down for me to check into the copyright law on that, all right?
Yes.
All righty. Thank you.
And that also, another issue then is making sure that our public, just even the publication list is updated. And since everybody's been working on progress reports, if you can go to the Google Docs and make sure to update that, that would be great. Because, again, that information then gets put onto the website. So if we don't have that, then we can't let everybody know what's being accomplished. So a couple of other things that I was thinking with the website, when we had our meeting, Michael had requested that, again, that we have just like one or two slides that kind of encompass or describe your 150-word description, and it would be nice to have that available along with that description. So if everybody can send that to me as well, that would be great. And then the other thing that we...
Hey, Jen, can I jump in there on
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Those 150-word things. I ran through a readability index, and I'm excluding myself because I had the advantages of reading all of your others first. But the least readability one had a score of 22, which meaning that you had to finish like a 4-year residency program in order to understand it. And the least one was a first-year postdoc. So we didn't get anywhere close to the eighth-grade readability that we were aiming at. So I've asked Jennifer to inquire about finding someone who could retake those and rewrite them into – it's almost impossible to reach the eighth-grade readability, but – at least get them into the college or the high school level mm-hmm. Readability. There was another score where a comic book ranks 90 and legalese ranks 10 in terms of difficulty in reading, and our low score was a minus 10, which made it less readable than your average legal document. So we really need to work on those. So if anyone wants to rewrite those before we send them out to somebody, please send them to Jill as soon as possible, because hopefully we'll get those on the CFAS website within the next month. Sorry, Jen.
Okay. The other things that we thought would be great to add to the website are some of these slides from some of these talks that are given, for example, in Vancouver. Elizabeth, the talk you gave was great, and I think really was tailored more to a general audience. So if you're willing to share some of those resources, if you can send those to me, that would also be really helpful, because I think, again, we really want to be able to show the public and what we're doing and provide a resource to others. So.
Believe it or not, talks like Elizabeth's
are helpful presenting to scientists who aren't expert in the field.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just the general public. I think that we sometimes assume more than we should about how much people who are in a different field understand about what we're saying. And I thought what was really valuable about some of those talks which were pitched to the public is that they would really be excellent just to talk to people in other specialties or other areas of research.
Mm-hmm. Were those videotaped, webcasts or anything?
I think yours were videotaped, but I don't know what they were doing with them.
They didn't have the funds for videotaping this year.
Really?
Oh, I thought I saw a camera up there.
I thought I did too, but that's what they told me. They said I didn't have to worry about my form.
Yeah, the camera was only for the large screens for the audience. There were a limited number that were available on video, but I don't believe our session was. I can check into that if you want.
Yeah, because, I mean, it would be really cool to be able to have a link to a talk like that.
I totally agree. And they were all great talks, and everybody who had a slide presentation there could make those available. That would be fantastic. Just to have as a link on our website of talks by CFAS members. And while I'm on the phone still, Mike Charnas is giving an update of CFAS to the PAST project at the end of May. And I think Jill already sent around an email that if you have slides that you would like him to consider for his presentation in informing the PAST people what CFAS is doing, please send them either to Jill through the Dropbox that we have or directly to Michael. All righty. Thank you.
That's going to be for May 2nd, so if you can get something to me by the middle of the month, it would be really helpful.
Great, and I think that's really important because we're trying to look for better ways to interact with the PAST project, and we already have Peter and Tatiana engaging in one project with them, so it would be very beneficial, I think. And I'm going to be talking to the PAST people next week as well in Cape Town, so I am certainly going to be mentioning what's going on here at CFAS.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would actually be very cool if we could do some of our own videotaping, even, you know, when NOFAS put those videos out there interviewing different investigators. I thought that was really effective. So maybe we can start exploring some of those ideas as well.
Can we get those videotapes from NOFAS to put on our website?
I will ask Kathy.
Thanks.
So if anyone else has suggestions or ideas for the website, just email me what those are, and that would be great. So the next agenda item is the Data Access Committee update, and that was attached, and I saw Bill Barnett send an email. I don't know if there's anyone here who'd like to discuss those conversations.
This is Michelle here on sorry for Bill since he's out of town. Pretty much I can see you guys got the PDF of all the key recommendations. It is my understanding that pretty much we're kind of waiting for you guys to review those recommendations and have any suggestions, want to change, and pretty much define what the next steps are. So at this point, if anybody has like questions or whatever, I mean, let me know. I mean, I'll write it down and pass to Bill.
Okay. Did everybody get a chance to look at those, the recommendations?
I did. It seemed reasonable to me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then we have our project update.
Is Sarah on?
Yeah.
Sarah, CFAS 1 data would then be available now.
CFAS 1 data is available to any CFAS investigator, has been for a while.
Being made to investigators outside.
We have not made it available to investigators outside.
That's part of the key recommendations of this committee, I think.
Yeah, that after the primary analyses and papers have been published, that they would be made available.
Well, the recommendation, it says that it recommends that the data be made available in waves, and that mm-hmm. data from CFAS 1 Phase 1 study should now be made available. Should now be made available.
We can definitely do that. I mean, I don't think there's a reason. I think that's something that, I mean, I'm on the committee. I agreed with it, but I think there are other investigators besides me that need to consider that.
Okay. Right? But so that will be then our first priority to try to get those data out then, right?
Yeah.
It'll still go through the approval process, though, correct?
I mean, it's saying it's going to make the first phase available.
Okay.
But presumably this wouldn't include confidential data. I mean, data which would allow you to identify the individual, like the photograph.
No, the images are not part of that. That was explicitly addressed in our grant, and that was actually why we got so many questions during the review, which is that because a face is identifiable, we were very hesitant that in essence becomes PHI. So what we've offered to share are three-dimensional coordinates, and that's all that we are currently proposing to share. Precisely because it's identifiable.
All right. So then, as I understand it, the CFAS Phase 1 data, what's available in that data should go to the steering committee for them to advise us on what data should be made available on a public website. It should be public, right?
Mm-hmm.
A public website. In the near future. All right, so that should be an action item for this committee to put together what the steering committee needs to evaluate.
So does that pertain to any phase one data?
Yes.
So any of the basic science data, which do not exist in a central repository at this point?
Well,
Tatiana, the facial imaging coordinates, not the photograph, the neuroimaging data are already present in the central repository.
Right.
But there are other projects that are not represented.
I think we get a recommendation from the steering committee about what projects were in phase one, what data are available within each of those projects, and what de-identified data could be made available so that other people can have access to analysis of those data. I mean, that's what I'm reading as a recommendation.
I mean, I think there's a difference. I'm not remembering the minutes because I don't have them open in front of me, but there's a difference between people requesting access to the information and making it available for anybody.
Right.
What you're saying is that it's making it available to anybody and nobody has to ask permission to do anything.
I think the discussion that we had was that phase two data would be obviously newer, would be sort of held as a data enclave where one would have to request permission to access it, and it would be brought to the steering committee for approval. I think phase one data we were discussing that it would be made publicly available, but you know that's for people to weigh in on.
Well, the key recommendation number two says that it wasn't going to be made put online for general public, so.
It says, are you reading the email from Bill Barnett?
No, I'm looking at the minutes. They were attached to what Jill sent out. So I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
It says there is no plan at this time to put data online for prospective studies or for use by the general public.
Okay, but then there's an email from April 1st that says data will be made available to investigators outside CFS who have relevant, as determined by CFS steering committee, research needs. There's no plan at this time to put data online for prospective studies. That's what you're reading, Dale, right?
Yeah, I read the second sentence there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the email and the attachment are the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a lot easier to make available. It's a lot easier to do that, to make it available. And we would have to put something on the website that said, this is what's available, and this is how you contact us if you have, and this is the process.
And it still goes through the approval process.
Right, and then it goes through the approval process. So, Ed, where were you reading, I want to find where were you reading that said?
Number three.
Same email, April.
It's on that same.
It says phase two data as a complete set but not yet ready to be released to the general research community should be considered as held in a data enclave with external access only being allowed.
Okay, so I remember now. Okay, so what this is saying is that data aren't going to be released freely to the public. It's going to be released only with permission of the steering committee. Phase one data, we can do that with phase one data now. Phase two data will be held in this enclave, and the steering committee and the relevant PI are participating in the decision-making process.
Okay.
Does that clarify it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not that we're making a database available for anyone to come and search, which is another possible, you know, suggestion.
That's,
at this point, it's
I think has to be true, right?
Yeah.
Eventually that we have to do that.
And there's going to be a bigger push within the federal government to do that for all existing data sets.
And how is that expressed? Is it within a year or within some reasonable amount of time?
It's kind of squishy. Yeah, I think it's a reasonable amount of time as the data is being published. I think it may be up to NIH to help formulate that idea.
My question is, what about all the IRB issues? Like, what did participants agree to?
What are the rules with de-identified data?
Well, I think, I mean, let me just clarify. I mean, we've just done this review of content of our ICs, and we certainly saw a lot of disparity. But if we're talking about the first part of the study, what kind of language was there initially for data sharing?
I'd have to go back and look at our original consent documents, but I don't think we had language about sharing, although we did have information about multiple, you know, because it was a multi-site project. But I think what Ed's asking is, did the same rules apply if there's no identifying information?
I
don't know the answer. Tatiana, do you know the answer to that?
I think that the IRBs would say if you didn't
say anything about sharing, it could be an issue. I wish Jackie was here. She's on vacation this week.
I would have to go back and look at the original RFA, but I believe there was a general data sharing statement that was included in every application. When in the first round, there was a section that I wrote that then everybody had to take and put into their own application.
There absolutely was.
And that was, I think, a data sharing statement in there. I'll have to go back and look.
I know at least a previous review to the one we just had, the same person who asked me a lot about data sharing, I know asked me about it then as well. I don't remember the first review, though.
I think one of the charges of the subcommittee, I think, that Bill Barnett was going to do was to collect all of those data sharing plans and start to review them. I mean, we have access to them, but, you know, collectively as the steering committee, he was going to gather those. And
all right. So.
But, I mean, there's a line between what, you know, NIH wants and where we are in this sort of evolving process of data sharing, right? So, I mean, that was kind of the whole point of what we went through and Tatiana worked so hard on to make sure that everything was in line with what we want to do. But whether that was 5 years ago, I don't know.
I think the concern is, what did we say we were going – I mean, that's a different question, but the question is, what did we say we were going to do? And then we'll have to ask, what did we do?
Right, that, and that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so
yeah. –
Okay, I have in front of me my consent document. I can talk to whoever's interested about it, but maybe at a different time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm happy to talk about it now, but I think it's going to take up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fine.
No.
All right.
Jen, you're on.
Okay, so then the next item is just our project updates. So I'll just go down the list. Ken, would you like to start?
Did you say Ken, Jen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So basically, let me just sort of outline what we are doing at the present time. We're over the next 2 months, we're going to Ukraine. Actually, we're going to Ukraine on Saturday. We're going to I'm going to Minneapolis on the 25th, and I'm going to Emory on the 16th of May. So I've got three major trips set up in the next 6 weeks, at which point I'm going to be doing primarily physical exams, although in Ukraine I am also going to be communicating with people about the telemedicine program, which I think is starting to move quite steadily, I would say, not rapidly, but steadily. We've got potentially a new place or people to interact with as far as this is concerned, the guy who's the chair of pediatrics at the University of Lviv, which is in far western Ukraine. And we're flying into there on Saturday or Sunday, and we're going to be communicating a lot with him over the beginning of next week. We are also going to San Diego State. I've been there once in the last month, and we've got two or three more scheduled appointments over the next couple of months to go out there and see kids. As far as the DVD is concerned, I've got three children with fetal alcohol syndrome who I'm going to be taping over the next over this month. So basically, things are moving, I think, quite steadily, and I'm feeling quite good about things.
So, Ken, this is Elizabeth. We were talking about sometime in June, hoping you'd come to L.A.
I would be thrilled to. I think that what I saw was when I was reading somebody's report that I've got about 8 or 10 kids to see up there.
Yes. So we're thinking June just because school's out and it would be easier to get.
That's
kids.
Great.
And we would also
we want to coordinate that with the camera too.
Right. And we'd also have IRB to get saliva for pubertal hormones. And so we figured if we wait till we have IRB for that. And that's another question, if any other site is willing to talk about how to get pubertal hormones from their kids. And part of the reason is that Christina Ubin, who's a postdoc with me, who did her graduate work with Joanne Weinberg, submitted a F-32 postdoc, and she got a score of 18. So we're praying that it'll get funded. But anyway, it would be cool if we could join efforts on collecting saliva for hormones.
And what kind of hormones are you looking at, Elizabeth?
Testosterone, estradiol, DHEA. So she's really looking at, well, we're also doing cortisol at our site, but that's a little bit complicated to do at multiple sites. But her proposal focused on looking at sex differences, stress, pubertal hormones, following up from from rat work she did with Joanne.
Ah.
So is a score of 18 going to get funded?
I'm assuming testosterone levels are low.
Well, I think the idea is just it's not about levels, but relationships between change over time in the brain and puberty, as opposed to just age as a metric for what changes are going on. And is it different in kids with alcohol exposure relative to kids without?
interesting. Well, why don't you just email me, Elizabeth, and I would be happy to set up the time when I can come up there in June.
Awesome.
Hey, Ken, I know you're very busy with travel and coming up, but I'm wondering what the status is of the DVD training. I mentioned it up in Vancouver, and there was a lot of interest in that.
I've got three videos of kids scheduled for this month, for April. So I'm going to be videotaping kids with the fetal alcohol syndrome, and at that point we will start talk to the people in the residency program here, and we're going to compare residents' ability to look at those DVDs with hands-on physical examination by me.
Are they going to be shot by the UCSD film people, or would it
be
helpful to try to recruit someone, professional type?
I don't think so. I mean, I felt very good with the with what we saw. Well, maybe you could comment.
I thought it was very good, too. I was just wondering if you wanted, me to look and see if we could get someone from our film department.
I think that's
a really good idea, Ed, to have it done a little more professionally, but from...
I've got to tell you that I would prefer to do it here with my people.
Okay.
I think it was great.
I got no problem. I was just trying to be helpful.
I agree. I wasn't saying it was bad. I was just saying sometimes it looks better when it's a pro doing it, but it was fine.
Yeah, well, the person that I had doing it is pretty much of a pro. She's very, very good, and she's done it a lot.
Okay.
All right, any other questions for Ken?
Oh, the other thing I will just say is that I am trying. I've been going back and forth with Claire. Is Claire on the phone by any chance?
No, Claire's in another meeting.
Okay, so Claire and I have discussed the possibility of doing a telemedicine thing at Emory. And it would be great if I could do it, or we could do it when I go out there in late May or mid-May. And the reason that I think that would be really good would be it would be much easier for me to be able to test out the telecommunication thing by doing it by telemedicine with Emory, and then being able to actually do physical examinations on the same kids at Emory when I'm out there. So I think that it might be a really good pilot for the Ukrainian thing.
Great idea.
Hey, Ken, coming back to the videos, I was wondering, are you going to focus on the typical 7-year-old, or have you given thought to maybe extending it to younger kids? You know, if there would be any learning points there that would differ?
Absolutely. One of the kids that I'm doing this month is I think he's a 6-month-old. Actually, I think he's younger than that. I think he's a 3-month-old. So, yeah. Is that Dale?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, thank you.
Great. Have a great trip to the Ukraine. I hope you feel better. It sounds like you got a cold.
Yeah, I think I do. Thanks, Seth.
Okay, Elizabeth?
So, it seems like looking at the Google Docs, we're moving along. I think we updated, Sarah, you emailed earlier that we didn't have yours right, and I think Chris updated that.
Yes, it looks like it's been updated.
Okay.
But is Max going to be, I didn't know who was in charge. I thought from the last call that it was Max, but is he going to be emailing us regularly to ask for updates?
Right. So Matt, we lost our project coordinator, and so Max is serving as interim, so... we're not yet decided who's going to be the person, but Chris and I are kind of. Max is doing it in the short run. Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. I just want to make sure that you guys know that I can't change it.
Yes.
Hi, Candace.
We know that. That now we know for sure. We did last month, and I'm not sure what happened this month. But again, we're sort of Max is sort of jumping in, taking over for what Lindsay was doing.
Got it. Thank you.
So, and just another thing is the longitudinal functional MRI data paper should be coming to co-authors shortly. It's a very complicated but interesting project. So I'm hoping we're within a month or so of submitting that, or less, if people read it and think it's good. So that's good.
Oh, and are things working well with Jeff?
Oh, Jeff is doing it. Jeff,
I see
as far as data collection, it's you're rocking, Jeff. You want to talk about that? Or?
Can you guys hear me? I was on mute there.
Yeah,
we hear you.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, everything's going well. I'm in a hotel room, and I cannot access my data at the moment, so I don't know exactly how many we have, but we have been cranking through some scans.
Yes, you get the gold star.
It looks that way. So, yeah, you're about 200% of your goal. So, I fully expect you to keep that rate up. All right. And,
one thing about this is, Sarah, one thing, and Jeff and I have already talked about this, is to try to balance the grouping so that some kids other than alcohol-exposed kids are being seen in terms of.
Right, so you're not seeing all of one group, and then
yeah, we did have a big push because we had a conference where there were a lot of people signing up to get scans at an alcohol conference. So we wanted to get all those people in, and we are definitely running controls and contrast right now, and that's going pretty well.
Great job.
Okay. All right, Sarah.
Okay, we're just plugging away. Jeff gets the gold star for neuro behavior too, but he also has been collecting controls and contrast. And I think we've talked about that most of those kids are in line for scanning as well, or the controls anyway. So we're making very good progress. We worked hard with informatics to get our tally system in place, and now we've tested it over 2 months, and it seems to be working really well. So that's an automated counting system where we can keep track of the data in the central repository, making sure that the subjects and that meet criteria and fall into one of our groups and have complete or at least near complete data. So that's our big accomplishment. And I actually don't know if Michelle was going to talk about that or not. So I hope I didn't steal that thunder. But we're just collecting data, working away.
Okay, you just had a nice paper come out the other day in ACER, and that's appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay, it looks like everybody's moving ahead there, and Jeff goes gold star again.
Yep.
So it looks like everything's going pretty well.
It's going well. I think, you know, for San Diego, one of the things that we've struggled with is making sure we had a staffing issue. We are missing some of our, or it hasn't been uploaded into the central repository, and so we're expecting a big jump in our numbers. And I know that, as Elizabeth mentioned, she's had staffing issues. So we're moving forward. I'm pretty happy with the way it's going.
Yeah, and I think the contrast group, Bill, Dale, and I were just at a talk in which they were talking about DSM moving forward, and a big push is going to be on contrast groups.
Good.
We will be well positioned for that.
Great.
Okay, Tadia.
Okay, so let me do a couple different things, and Peter and I will do this together. So in terms of this whole informed consent, I think we've got three people at the IRB. I think, Elizabeth, you should be at the IRB. I don't know how the timing of the back and forth on the consents went. Jackie left on vacation yesterday, so I don't know if she got it finished before she left or not. She'll be back on Monday otherwise. And that would be our last consents that we'll review. And then once everyone has their approval, then we'll just go back to doing an annual review and just making sure that everything stays on track. So hopefully that will go smoothly. And then in terms of images, you've got your Google Docs, and I've got them in front of me as well. So Ken's traveling is actually really going to help me as well. So you can see San Diego has a camera there, and so they have 21 images of their 30 collected for the year. You see that there's no images collected yet for Los Angeles, for Minnesota, Emory, and Ukraine. And how that happens is we bring the camera to those sites, and we collect a group of kids. You can see for Minnesota, we have a visit scheduled April 26th and 27th. We're actually going to be leaving the camera there, and having seen Jeff's numbers, you probably know why we're suggesting that. So he's got a really nice capacity to put individuals through. We're going to leave a camera there, having trained an individual from his site. So we hope that that will allow us to actually potentially surpass numbers there. Emory, we have a visit scheduled in May, and that's coordinated again with Leah and with Ken. And we have a camera going now in pieces through Ken and Tina to the Ukraine, and they have been absolutely wonderful. So they are bringing the camera actually through as luggage, and Jeff Rogers will be going at the end of April to do training, and that will get us up and running with a camera in the Ukraine.
Of course, they're going through actually, official channels, right?
We're smart.
Absolutely official channels. Yes, this is I'm so sorry. Maybe I should not have said this publicly on the phone. I just wanted them to get credit for being fabulous citizens in the community. Everything is absolutely official.
Well, you're cringed.
So cringed. I'm so sorry. There's nothing. It's in the luggage. Anyone can see it. Anyone could look at it.
If they do look at it, we are screwed.
So let's not – well, but so far nothing's happened, right?
And I promise to bail you out.
I'll come visit you with cookies. I don't think anything's going to happen.
Ukrainian jails are not very nice.
I'll get you out, Ken, no matter what it takes.
Right.
In terms of South Africa, everything's going pretty smoothly. We get data in boluses, so we're at 778 right now, but that's actually a couple months behind. So there's every reason to believe we'll be completely on track in terms of our collection there. And that is, it's, for those of you who follow us in terms of imaging, these are the kids that are now coming in for their 12-month visit. We have the full 1,200 on the 1 month. What we're completing now is the 12-month. And we have a trip going to the Jacobsons in Cape Town. At the end of September, Jean Hoimi is going with Leah, and we'll be getting 220 individuals that will be imaging for the second time on this 3D MD. And actually, if we count the Minolta, it'll be their third visit. And these are kids that have been seen about every 4 years. So that's kind of where we are in terms of image collection.
Is SD getting a camera for the use in their COFAST project?
Yes, so that's also got. So they were having trouble with their camera. You know, I don't know, so maybe I should have backed up. I'm so sorry. We ordered three cameras as part of this new grant,
mm-hmm.
And so that's how we're putting a camera in Minnesota. We have taken care of the woes that we have created for Tina in for COFAST, and that's being I assume everything will be smooth with that.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's here.
It is there.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And then in terms of saliva collection, you can see our numbers there, that continues to go pretty smoothly. As more kids are seen, there'll be more saliva collected. And so in terms of numbers, I think everything's going pretty smoothly. Let me tell you maybe two more things, and I'm going to turn it over to Peter. The other thing that we're working on, and this is in response to a call that we had and actually the presentation we done when we were all together, we are trying to work now with PATH to see if we can identify a cohort of kids who have images at both 1 month and 12 months that we can be confident do not have alcohol exposure. So rather than breaking the blind on everyone, can they identify for us a sample of boys, a sample of girls with images at both time points that we could basically use as a good quality reference. So if you recall everything Peter had shown previously, we didn't know alcohol exposure. So it was more of a, this is kind of a, by using a large amount of data, we hope this is pretty much kind of an average. And so what we have now is a proposal that we're working on with Amy Elliott to request help from PATH to help us identify this kind of pure group of 100 controls, 100 boys and 100 girls. And so we hope to have that submitted for the end of the month. I sent a follow-up on that.
Tatiana, if you email Michael and myself, perhaps we could have an opportunity to mention this when I meet with the PATH project next week and Michael meets with them in early May.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. And I'll email Amy so there's no
just so we're on
not blindside her. But I think she's been very supportive. We've been very public about this. This is not any kind of a secret or anything.
Right,
that we're
but
putting
I
in this
think we could then highlight, you know, what the importance of it is would be. And
absolutely. So I don't know if maybe you should just for your awareness. So Peter did a really nice presentation. It was a phone presentation. I think it was past the dysmorphology group. I think I'm right about that. Illustrating the work he's done, showing how important it is to have some alcohol exposure data. And it was really after that presentation that they seemed to be pretty willing to consider this request. And go ahead, Peter. I didn't mean to say too much.
Well, what I would add is that they did suggest that I attend the May meeting that Michael's going to, but it's too expensive for me to go for such a short time without stopping over a Saturday night. So maybe I should prepare a few slides for Michael.
That would be helpful, Peter. Just whatever you like, and we can exchange information offline, really stressing what data you want me to show and what your ask is, if there's something you're looking for from PATH.
Well, it's just to back up the presentation to the dysmorphology committee, but now to the wider group.
That would
just,
be great.
Again, to convince them to give us access to this so-called control group.
Just spell it out, and I'll present it.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'll give some notes for you to use as well as the slides themselves. And then just going back over other things. For the last month, Mike and I have been deep in software development in terms of this idea of building dual models. That is, for instance, the face brain or for human or for mouse, that sort of thing. And that's ongoing. I mean, that's pretty demanding technically. And then in relation to the past and also the new trips that are going to happen in April and May in the U.S. And the Ukraine, where, of course, we'll be waiting for that new data. And I think it makes sense to put a hold on any further analysis until we have that new data so we have a much fuller complement to analyze. And then finally, on the mouse side, we identified a small problem with some of the MRI data when we got it from North Carolina, and Mike and Shona have been liaising to sort that out so that we can put more data through the pipeline that we've established that seems to do pretty well at giving a very good first pass segmentation without a lot of the extra sort of manual work, and we'll wait and see how that goes. And that's all I would add to what Tatiana has already said.
Question?
Okay, Kathy?
I don't have much new to report. We're freaking along. Al's a little mad at us because we're using up all of his magnet time. but that's good for us. We're just trying to tiptoe around a little bit with that. Our mutant mice arrived from Germany and now are in quarantine, so we'll be able to start building a colony within a month, and we're excited about that project. Otherwise, there's nothing really new.
And Johan?
So we're just finalizing the screen. We're starting to write it up. There are two genes that we're having a little bit of problem with the apparently the alleles that they sent us are not the ones that they reported. And so we're just having to go back and resequence those guys. So they're holding us up a little bit, but pretty much the analysis of that original shelf screen, if you will, is almost finished. And so we're going to be turning our attentions to working that up into some sort of grant and then pursuing the forward genetic mutants that we'll need to identify and characterize. So there are 10 of those.
Okay. Any questions for Johan? Did I miss anyone? Any comments from NIAAA or the advisory committee?
Is Deepak on today?
He's not.
Oh, okay. No, I've got no particular comments myself. Bill, how about you?
Ed left me a note just to make sure, Jen, that you mentioned the website. I don't know if you mentioned that at the beginning of the call.
Yes.
Redesign?
Yes.
Okay.
I have nothing to add.
Okay. So Ed's no longer on.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, then the only other thing is just a reminder, if you can send a PDF of your reports to Ed, that would be great, and your progress reports, and I think that's
actually,
it.
Actually, come to me. That's fine. Pardon?
Or to Jill. Okay.
Hi, this is Jill. I'll just go through the little bit of things. So for the action items, just a reminder, send past meeting slides to Dr. Charnas. If you haven't done so already, send me the PDF of your ERI Commons progress report. Make sure you're updating the publications. And then the final thing is we want to have a meeting of the CIPSD at RSA, so make sure you complete the doodle poll with your availability, not your preferred availability, but your actual availability. That's all I have.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Joan. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.